Lord is here, and we are here in the presence of God, and we welcome one another on this Sunday, the second Sunday of Advent. Is this okay? Good. Today our theme is peace. Last week it was hope, and you'll see the banner in the entryway, but here in the front we have the words of peace, and this is our theme for the day. We are longing for God. We are looking for the coming of the Messiah, the one who will bring peace, peace to us, peace among us, and peace to our hurting world. And so we sing our Advent song. Come, walk in the light in the green spiral book number 10. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain will be made low. Every valley, every mountain. And then the glory of the Lord will be revealed. The glory of the Lord. And all people will see it together. All people together. Let us pray. God, you are the Holy One. In this dark world, we long to see your glory. We turn to you in this hour of worship. And we pray that you will turn us around, turn us to you. Peacemaking God, renew us so that we may see you at work in our world. Lead us, God, as we prepare ourselves for the coming of the Messiah. Speak peace to our wounded world. Comfort those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Lead us, God, as we prepare for the coming of Messiah. May your will be done on earth as in heaven. Amen.
Please turn in the blue hymnal to number 176. Comfort, comfort, O my people. And now in the green, Sing the Journey hymnal, number 8. Somos Pueblo que Camina. We'll sing verse 1 in Spanish, then 1 in English, then 2 in Spanish, then 2 in English.
Psalm 25. To you, Yahweh, I lift up my soul. O God, my God, I trust in you. Do not let me be ashamed. Let no one who trusts in you be ashamed. Show me your ways, O Yahweh. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are my God and my Savior, and for you I wait all the day long. Remember, O Yahweh, your mercy, and remember your faithful love. Relieve the troubles of my heart. Bring me out of my distress, and look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Guard my life and deliver me. Remember not the sins of my youth or my offenses, but remember me in your faithful love. And for your goodness' sake, guard my life and deliver me. For you, O Yahweh, you are good and just. You show sinners the way of justice, the path of life. O Yahweh, all your paths are mercy and truth. Yahweh, restore me, show me the path I should choose. Let me not be ashamed, for I have trusted in you. I wait for you, O Yahweh. Sisters and brothers, God has mercy on us and forgives us, restores us, and shows us the path of life. And so, because God gives us peace, let's stand and exchange a greeting of peace with one another. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Some offering to put in, please do so. If you don't, you offer, touch the basket and offer your prayers that the money will be blessed for those it goes to help. Wonderful, thank you. This is our second Sunday of Advent. Last week we talked about hope. I hope that you noticed as you came up the stairs that the Hope Banner is waiting there in the foyer. And that reminds you what our message of Advent for last week. As you can see here, this week our banner is peace. And our lesson has to do with peace. But before we start that, I want you to look at the banner right up here on the wall. After my children's time last week, I went and sat down. The banner wasn't quite in its proper place last week, but I looked at that and I thought, oh my goodness, I did the children's time and I didn't even mention that. Because look at that hope tumbling through the darkness. Do you see the yellows? Do you see that light, the light of God tumbling through our world? If that doesn't show us hope, I don't know what does. And there are many other colors. Now, that was designed by someone in our congregation. Her name is Janice Wiebe Olenberger, and she's here this morning. Janice, could you raise your hand? There she is. So she's the designer of that. Yeah. She used her God-given talents to design something of God breaking through the world. But there were other people who helped. A woman named Edith Shanholt worked with her. And who did the quilting, Janice?
Edith did both the piecing and the quilting.
Oh my goodness. And so you can look at what all the different colors mean. There's a little blurb right here in the bulletin. And this, every Sunday, if it's in the bulletin, read it, look at it, and just look at the different ways that this fits God's light breaking into our world through Jesus. So, second Sunday of Advent, peace, and I have a story from the Bible. I'm going to read it from a Bible storybook. And this has to do, again, with waiting. And, you know, I had a bunch of grade 5 through 9 people at our house last night. Yeah, they don't like to wait. They've got a lot of energy, although they did a really good job. And in fact, as we were brainstorming about how we could make things better in church and so forth, someone said, too many words, or too much waiting, too talking too long. So here I am talking. So waiting's hard for everybody. It's especially hard for kids, but you know it's harder for older people too. And we have a story about a holy man of God named Zechariah in the Bible. And he learned to wait, but it was forced waiting. So let me tell you the story. How many of you have ever heard of John the Baptist? Yeah. And this was a precursor of Jesus, Jesus' cousin, and these are his parents. So I'm going to read you the story. Zechariah and Elizabeth, those were the names of his parents. The priest Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth were faithful followers of God. They had been married for a long time, but they did not have children. Zechariah took turns with the other priests working in the temple, and one day Zechariah was chosen to take the incense into the holy place, out of sight. People couldn't see him behind that curtain. As he did this, the people stood outside the curtain praying. But when Zechariah stepped into the holy place, he saw an angel beside the altar. This didn't happen every day. He was very frightened, but the angel said, like angels always do, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Elizabeth, your wife, will have a son, and you will name him John. You will be glad, and many people will rejoice at his birth. He will be like the prophet Elijah. He will help people follow God." This is what Zechariah said. "How will I know this is so?" Zechariah asked. "My wife and I are both old." The angel said, "I am Gabriel." I'm going to add, "I know some things. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to bring you this message. But since you did not believe my words, you will not be able to speak until the day my words come true." It's kind of harsh, isn't it? The people praying outside wondered why the priest was taking so long. When Zechariah came out, he couldn't talk. The people realized that he'd seen a vision. They knew something dramatic had happened. It happened as the angel said. Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant, even though they were old. And throughout the whole 9 months of waiting for the baby, Zechariah couldn't speak. Now, a priest or a preacher who couldn't speak, it's kind of your job, but yeah. After the birth, the people gathered to celebrate. "Elizabeth had a baby in her old age," they said. "He will be named Zechariah, just like his father." Elizabeth said, "Not Zechariah. Remember what the angel said to call him? His name will be John." The neighbors were surprised. No one else in the family was named John. They turned to Zechariah and asked him what he wanted the baby to be called. Zechariah wrote on a tablet, "His name is John." Suddenly, Zechariah could talk again, and he said to his people, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. God has remembered us and shown mercy." Now, I'm going to change to the Bible here. Because the Bible storybook sounds like he said two things after 9 months of not being able to talk. But I want you to look a little bit. Look at that whole long column of words. And over to here, there's a Zechariah's song. He didn't just say two things. He had been waiting 9 months. He had a lot of time to think, and he had some things to say. And I'm just going to highlight one of them at the very end. He said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord. God has remembered us and shown mercy." And then he said to his son John, "And you, child, will be a prophet. You will prepare the way and help people return to God. God's light will shine upon us and guide our feet in the way of peace." After 9 months of silence, he had a message from God that God will guide our feet in the way of peace. I want you to get your feet out there in front of you. We each have feet, thank goodness. How does God guide our feet in the way of peace? Well, I believe that God guides our whole body, but today we're thinking about our feet. If we follow Jesus, God has promised that our feet will be, he will guide our feet in the way of Jesus. I don't know where your feet were this week. I don't know where they will be next week. But every time you look at your feet and you think about where you're going, look down. Where is God guiding you? And as we wait for the birth of Jesus to celebrate this magnificent thing in our world, keep looking at your feet and keep asking, God, where do you want to guide my feet? And I bet if you listen, God will guide your feet, and he won't even have to close up your mouth so that you wait and listen. If you listen, you will hear God guiding your feet and telling you where to go and what to do. And if you mess up, he'll remind you, oops, look at your feet. I want to guide your feet. May it be so for all of us. Let's pray. God, thank you for making us wait sometimes. Help us listen. And then help us, like Zechariah, to burst forth in song and actually hear something. Help guide our feet in the way that you would have us go, in the way of peace. Amen. And I have, last week I gave you hope. I hope you, on the back, you draw, I don't have anything on the back this week. That's up to you. Guide my feet, you can put on the back. Draw a pair of your feet. Color this and then put it up in your home so that you remember that God wants to guide us and our feet and our whole being in the way of peace. And you would go back to your seats when you have your. Come on up and get a stretch. Take one of your hair, take one of your. There you go. Take two.
Our first reading is from the Old Testament. It's from the very last book of the Old Testament, and it's a word of hope. From Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. "See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way for me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he will purify. He will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. And then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years.
La primera lectura viene del libro de Malaquías, versículo 1. He aquí yo envío mi mensajero, el cual preparará el camino delante de mí, y vendrá súbitamente a su templo el Señor, a quien vosotros buscáis, y el ángel del pacto a quien deseáis vosotros. He aquí viene, ha dicho Jehová de los ejércitos, y quién podrá soportar el tiempo de su venida, o quién podrá estar en pie cuando él se manifieste, porque él es como el fuego purificador y como el jabón de lavadores, y se sentará para afinar y limpiar la plata, porque limpiará a los hijos de Levi, y la afinará como a oro y como a la plata, y traerán a Jehová ofrenda en justicia, y será grata a Jehová su ofrenda de Judá y de Jerusalén, como en los días pasados y como en los años antiguos.
The second reading is from the Gospel of Luke, and it's about the birth of John the Baptist. Luke 1, starting at verse 57. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "None of your relatives has this name." And they began motioning to his father to find out what name he wanted to give the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and he wrote, "His name is John." And all of them were amazed. Immediately, Zechariah's mouth was opened, and his tongue was freed, and he began to speak, praising God.
La segunda lectura viene del Evangelio de Lucas, capítulo 1, versículo 57. Cuando a Elizabeth se le cumplió el tiempo de su alumbramiento, dio a luz a un hijo. Aconteció que al octavo día vinieron a circuncidar al niño y llamaban con el nombre de su padre, Zacarías. Pero respondió su madre, dijo, no, le llamarán Juan. Y le dijeron, ¿por qué? No hay nadie en tu parentela que se llame con ese nombre. Entonces preguntaron por señas a su padre cómo quería llamarle. Y pidieron una tablilla, escribió diciendo, Juan es su nombre. Y todos se maravillaron. Al momento fue abierta su boca y suelta su lengua y habló diciendo Dios, bendiciendo a Dios.
The word of the Lord.
Palabra. Palabra del Señor.
Our preacher this morning is our pastor, Carolyn. Let's pray for a moment here. Gracious God, we pray that you will feed us with the word of life, the word of peace, and by your Spirit lead us into your truth. We pray for Carolyn as she brings your word to us and for us as we listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You all are going to know the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth by the end of the sermon, because we've told it to you like three times. So, as Eleanor and Jeanette have pointed out, we're using the kind of traditional themes of hope, peace, joy, and love these four Sundays of Advent. And when I was thinking of peace, I realized that my images demonstrate my bias to being born in the Northern Hemisphere. Because I was thinking about stillness and quiet, the kind that you have. Like a few Sundays ago, we had a thick snowfall, and when we went out of the house to come to church, it was just hush everywhere. before the snow plows have come out, before people are shoveling their walk and salting the steps. The blanket of snow muffles all of the normal morning sounds. And when you take your dogs to the park, you and your dogs are making the first footprints in the snow. And that's certainly one way to think about peace, kind of a picture postcard way. Lack of motion, an absence of sound. It's kind of like the most requested Mother's Day gift ever. 2 hours of peace and quiet. And all of us need that times of stillness as part of our discipleship, because that's when we hear God's call. You know, it's no coincidence that Zechariah was alone, but, you know, in the Holy of Holies in the temple, focusing on just one thing when God's angel came to him. Peace can also be interpreted as the absence of conflict, or maybe the absence of visible, audible conflict. Who among us has not tried to keep the peace at holiday tables, perhaps by avoiding topics of conversation or steering around controversial subjects like so many potholes? And the gospel we read this morning alludes to another kind of peace, the absence of talking. In the first paragraphs of Luke's gospel, this is how Luke decides to start the story of Jesus. Zechariah is serving in the temple when that angel appears with good news. Zechariah and Elizabeth, the English version of the Bible I read, said they were getting on in years. They're going to have a baby, and not just a baby, but a son, a great blessing in their faith. I imagine that Zechariah looked Gabriel up and down, and said, you know, Elizabeth and I, we paid our lifetime membership in the AARP. We're not spring chickens. And Gabriel more or less tells him, zip it, lock it, put it in your pocket. He says, because you didn't believe my words, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day this prophecy comes true. And I think that must have been a really interesting 9 or 10 months in their household. First of all, I wondered if he could still go to work in the temple. I don't know. But at the beginning, anyway, Zechariah's involuntary silence meant that that prophecy was a secret, at least at first. So I was wondering, when did Zechariah tell his wife? We know he wrote things on a tablet, right? So at some point he must have told her, I don't know. And did he write notes to her all the time, or did sometimes days pass where he just didn't emit any words in any way? I wonder if Elizabeth wrote him back, or did she answer him out loud because it was easier? And how did Zechariah react when Elizabeth first started noticing the changes happening in her body? Was it menopause or miracle? Was her nausea morning sickness or dread, shame? How many times before had Elizabeth missed her period and hoped, or been pregnant and miscarried? Scripture, like Elizabeth's husband, is silent about these things. All we know is that Elizabeth remained in seclusion for 5 months as God knit together the inward parts of John in the quiet depths of her body. Then Jesus arrives at their house in Mary's womb, and things get loud. The infant in the old woman's inside leaps maybe for the first time. You know, maybe he elbowed her right in the ribs. And Elizabeth exclaims, as you do, "Ah!" She exclaims with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb." And she tells her cousin Mary, "This thing that you have been keeping quiet and have been keeping secret, this is no shame. This is a great blessing for the whole world." And when Elizabeth shouts, then Mary's song of praise responds. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." It's like somebody threw a ping pong ball into a room full of mouse traps. You know, it hits one, and then it hits another, and it hits, and pretty soon that whole thing is making noise. There's quiet, and then Jesus comes, and John hears Jesus, and John makes a motion, and Elizabeth cries out, and Mary cries out. This praising text, the Magnificat, or Canticle of Mary, is so beloved, it's so core to Christian faith and practice, that Christians who pray the Liturgy of the Hours, like morning and evening prayer, whether you're Anglican or Orthodox or Catholic or Anabaptist, you pray it almost every evening, not just during Advent. And you know which text is its counterpart in the morning? The Canticle of Zechariah, the one that comes right after it, the Benedictus. What Zechariah sings when his tongue is unleashed. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them." When Elizabeth gives birth to their son, and Zechariah affirms God's plan, then his tongue is freed. And I don't know about you, but I think Zechariah did not say this quietly. He has been quiet, silent, for 40 weeks or more. I was wondering what his voice sounded like. Like, was he hoarse, or did he, like, yeah, croak? We don't know, but Zechariah says so many things that the gospel says fear came over all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about through the entire hill country of Judea, not just their little neighborhood, but there was enough gossip and telling that that is spreading. That's a lot of people and a lot of talking and a lot of noise. The prophecy that streams out of Zechariah foretells not only what John will do to go before the Lord to prepare his way, but also what Jesus will do. He will be the light of the world, the dawn from on high, illuminating those who sit in darkness and guiding our feet into the way of peace. He's going to be that light that lights our way. So what is the way of peace? For a long time, Mennonites in North America associated peace with quiet. I have been taught the phrase, the quiet in the land. And the tendency was to keep ourselves separate and not make waves. Kind of like, we'll just be over here with the members of our other members of our same immigrant ethnic group. And how about we keep to ourselves and we stay quiet and you don't compel us to join the military and we all agree to leave each other alone. Okay, here we are over here. And in some circles, stillness and quiet behavior during worship has been upheld as the preferred form of reverence. Like maybe if we praise God too loud or we react to the sermon or we make noise, God might not like that. And even our music was sometimes really regulated, four-part harmonies. I think of that as permitted noise. It's carefully prescribed and beautiful, and we will praise God with our tongues and our voices. However, we are going to primarily do it in this one very regulated way. But stillness and quiet and formal worship alone do not constitute the way of peace. Generations before Jesus, way back, the Lord promises peace in the land to those who follow God's commandments. And it's in Leviticus chapter 26, that God provides some of the conditions of peace. The land will yield its produce, and all the trees are going to bear fruit. You will have such a harvest, you'll hardly be able to get one harvest in before the next one is going to be ready, and you won't run out of food from last year until the new harvest is in. People will be able to rest easy and not be afraid of predators or invaders. And you will all eat your bread to the full. So in our own times, we might say peace looks like a cupboard that still has food in it on the last day before you get paid, or the day before your Social Security or your disability benefits are credited. Peace looks like a refrigerator full of affordable, nutritious, fresh fruits and vegetables that are uncontaminated by E. coli. Peace is like garden soil untainted by lead or industrial solvents from metal plating. Peace sounds like children laughing and playing outside, not worried about gunfire or drive-bys or anything. Sledding or throwing snowballs. Peace sounds like conversation face to face without sharp words of insult. Peace looks like workers going to shops to spend the money that they earned when they were paid a fair wage. Peace looks like affordable housing that is clean and warm and safe. Peace feels in your hands like the sawdust and calluses of rehabbing a house. Peace smells like your favorite meal being cooked. When the aromas permeate your house and they get in your clothes, peace looks like people sharing food. Peace looks like doors wide enough for scooters and wheelchairs and walkers. It looks like ramps, elevators, and clear signage. Peace looks like people voting without intimidation and without being wrongly purged from the voter rolls. Peace sounds like young people learning from their peers how to play musical instruments inside schools which are in good repair. Peace sounds like mariachis in the Prairie Street parking lot. Peace smells like face paint and arepas, and it looks like Latin dancing. Peace looks like unwanted handguns being melted down into artwork and garden tools. Peace feels like trust between citizens and law enforcement in Elkhart. Peace smells like the grease on a bicycle chain at Pedal Power, and like the coffee you smell when you come into church on a Sunday morning. Peace is raucous and messy, and above all, it's joyful. Peace is not standing by silently and holding our tongues when we see unjust situations. So many elements in that way of peace, like fair housing and affordable food and just wages, they're not going to come into being on their own. They will come into being and become reality when people speak up. I wanted to conclude with a few words of wisdom from a thinker not exactly in the Anabaptist stream, but not far outside it. This person's words have been so formative in our family that one of our boys is named after him. Anthony and I heard this person speak at the Dogwood Festival in Dowagiac more than 10 years ago. And here's what he said. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. You can get anything you want At Alice's restaurant, walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Sad to say, this morning I found out that most Mennonites don't know Arlo Guthrie, and so you weren't going to know those words. Can I get a head count of anyone who does know? Okay. Okay, well then why are y'all sitting there quiet in the pews? Man! All right. So for people who don't know, when Arlo Guthrie was a young man, he got arrested for littering on Thanksgiving. And later it was that arrest and conviction for littering that made the U.S. government decide he was unfit to serve in the war in Vietnam. He was not moral enough to kill people because he had been arrested for littering. It's an 18-minute song. But and first of all, if you ever get a chance to see Arlo Guthrie in concert, you really should, because it was a religious experience. It really was. And one of the things that I remember most vividly from that night was Arlo Guthrie's response to the audience when we sang along on that chorus to Alice's Restaurant. He's been playing for like 15 minutes at this point. And he stopped playing and he looked at us and he said, "If y'all want to end war and stuff, you're going to have to sing louder." None of this half-hearted singing. What was needed was wholehearted and full-voiced singing, because that's what's needed to change things. Okay, so if you know the chorus, can you help me sing it this time and sing really loud, okay? You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Oh, you are so good. So if we want peace, we need to make noise. We are called to be like John the Baptist, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight, so that every valley will be filled and every mountain and hill made low, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." So if we see crookedness in how rules are applied, like who's asked for ID when you write a check at the store, those of us being favored by this privilege need to speak up. When we hear institutional racism lurking just under the surface of city council deliberations or decisions by our federal government, followers of Jesus need to make noise. When we read of tax incentives and redevelopment grants funding a boutique hotel at 500 South Main, but there was not affordable housing available for all the low-income tenants evicted from that building last year, we've got to sing louder. So this Advent, let us pray with the words of Zechariah and follow John the Baptist, because he is preparing us to meet Jesus, the light of the world. Guide our feet into the way of peace. Amen.
We'll sing 174 in the blue hymnal, "Blessed be the God of Israel." And those who are able, please stand.
invite the ushers to collect the offering.
Please turn back into the Sing the Story hymnal, the purple, to number 2, Maranatha Come. We'll sing the refrain along with verses 1, 4, 5, and 7. 1, 4, 5, and 7.
Let us pray. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us. A mighty Savior. For us. And we now have among us the smells of peace. There are places proclaiming peace. There are joyous sounds of peace, and there are feet walking in the way of peace. And around the world, as Mary has shared, there is the noise of peace. And we, the people of God, are grateful. Today we are full of gratitude, grateful for good care of this church building. Grateful for the youth of the church and those who meet with them. grateful for the work of transition in its many ways. And in our gratitude, we also extend our hands for help. We ask that God's deep peace will rest with Howard Klopfenstein and the family and all those who remember Ted. We ask for peace extended to Steve Thomas during this time and journey of loss and the extended family. We ask for healing of body and soul for those needs named and those needs unnamed, for good, clear healing of James's eyes, for David, for healing of body and restoration of spirit, that he may continue to be one of your messengers of peace. And for our community, for voices of peace speaking loudly and clearly for Tolson Center. Voices speaking for our city council, for our police, for our downtown, for South Central Elkhart, for our schools and our neighborhoods, and for our businessmen and our workers and those seeking housing. And now we ask you to name those places aloud with your voice of peace where you call for God to be present. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And as followers of Jesus, let us now speak the prayer that he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And please turn in the Green Singer Journey Book to number 95. I want to walk as a child of the light. And those who are able, please stand.
Thank you. receive the blessing. Be people of peace. Let peace live in your heart. Share the peace of Christ with all you meet, and continue to journey in the light of Jesus, which breaks into the darkness of the world and illuminates the path of peace before our feet. Amen.
Amen.